From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Split show tonight. Later, Joshua P. Warren and his paranormal moment. But here's what's happening. Well, the Food and Drug Administration has ordered the makers of about 500 unapproved prescription cough and cold medicines to just get them off the market because they have not been proven safe and effective. The drugs have been linked to a few relatively minor problems, such as drowsiness and irritability, but the FDA is concerned that medical problems associated with them may be significantly underreported. So maybe the FDA is acting on our behalf on this one. A non-surgical autopsy technique, which could remove the need to open up the body to determine a cause of death, has now been developed. It involves a scanner and a small incision in the neck, and has so far been shown to be 80% accurate in determining the cause of death. Conventional postmortem examinations require cutting open the body so the vital organs can be inspected. Around 64,000 pounds of chicken and pork products containing broccoli have been recalled for possible listeria contamination by a California company. Young children, frail or elderly people, and others with weakened immune systems are particularly at risk to infections from listeria. The products range from Raley's rice bowls and pasta dishes to Taylor Farms salad kits and Alfredo snacks. The products have sell dates between Feb 7 and March 7 and distributed to Arizona, California, Colorado, and Wyoming. Our food safety expert, Jeff Nelkin, with us. Jeff, what exactly is listeria?
Well, it's a organism that's found in the soil. And, you know, typically we've heard about listeria in, like, luncheon meat, hot dogs, deli meats, and unpasteurized dairy products.
But bad broccoli. This is a first, huh?
Well, again, you know, it's found in the soil, so anytime, you know, you're processing, you know, with the what goes on in the farm, any sort of contamination can get listeria, you know, moving in an operation that isn't sanitized very well and kept clean.
I was going to say, Jeffrey, generally, what causes the listeria once it's in the soil? How does it get there?
Well, it's there as a, you know, as a natural part of the soil, but it's how that organism gets into the food processing plant, because listeria likes to hide in spots where normally you don't clean very well, and listeria is one of those few organisms that likes to grow under 40 degrees and can live in the refrigerator up to a year.
Oh, my God. So what can we do about this?
Again, making sure that we keep our kitchens clean and that we make sure that we, consume pasteurized products, especially if we're a high-risk individual, if we're HIV positive, or if we're pregnant, you know, or if we're over the age of 65, we need to pay better attention to, you know, our sanitation standards.
Okay, and Jeff's website, foodsafetycoach.com. Are humans causing a mass extinction on the magnitude of the one that killed the dinosaurs? The answer, according to a new analysis, is yes, but they say we still have some time to stop it. Mass extinctions include events in which 75% of the species on the planet disappear within a short time period, usually on the order of a few hundred thousand to a couple million years. That's a short time period. It happened only five times before in the past 540 million years of multicellular life on Earth. The last great extinction, of course, occurred 65 million years ago when the dinosaurs were wiped out. At current rates of extinction, the study found, Earth will enter its sixth mass extinction within the next 300 to 2,000 years. That's all. The U.S. economy expanded in January and early February in all parts of the country, but businesses reported that they are under pressure to raise their prices, so look out. Apple Inc.'s chief executive, Steve Jobs, surprised a crowd of fans by taking to the stage. He's been very ill to unveil the next version of his company's iPad tablet. Mr. Jobs' surprise appearance in San Francisco was greeted by a standing ovation. The iPad 2 had several features that were absent in the original model, but have since been included in the rival devices, such as cameras and dual-core processors. Now, unlike some rivals, however, Apple's device still lacks the ability to connect to high-speed 4G cell networks. An incredible story out of St. Louis that is making its way around YouTube. A little baby, baby Micah MacArthur, may be the most talked about kid in the world at this moment because of a YouTube video that his father posted about 5 weeks ago that has now gone big time viral. The father, Marcus MacArthur, was busy packing for the family's trip to New York City to be on the Today Show on this Friday. Marcus said that he's been frantically fielding media requests and business opportunities since last Friday when actress Alyssa Milano tweeted about the video Marcus had posted several weeks earlier. The video shows 8-month-old Micah in the family's St. Louis home laughing hysterically as his dad rips up a job rejection letter and some other pieces of mail. As of today, the video has had nearly 2.5 million views, and Micah has been on AOL's homepage, the front page of Yahoo.com, local television stations, CoastToCoastAM.com's website, and a variety of national shows. Now, what you're about to hear is a portion of the video. This little kid laughed for minutes, but here's a portion of it. That little kid is going to grow up to be one happy little adult. Well, the father is a stay-at-home dad. He's applying for teaching positions. I guarantee you, because of the little kid, he's going to get hired somewhere. He really is. And they're going to invite the little kid into the school. An Egyptian-American college student says that he has never done anything that should attract the interest of federal law enforcement officials. He's filed a lawsuit against the FBI for secretly putting a GPS tracking device on his car. The 20-year-old says a mechanic doing an oil change on his car discovered the device stuck with magnets between his right rear wheel and exhaust. They were not sure what it is, but he had the mechanic remove it, and a friend posted photos of it online to see if anybody knew what it was. Well, 2 days later, he says agents wearing bulletproof vests pulled him over as he drove away from his apartment in San Jose, California, and demanded their property back. He's now filed a suit against them, claiming that his civil rights have been violated. Up next, Dr. John Hall joins us. We're going to be talking about his work with thousands of people, victims of electronic harassment and mind control. Dr. John is next on our split show on Coast to Coast AM. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the program, we've got a split program for you tonight. 2 hours with Dr. John Hall as we talk about his work, A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. And then later on in the program, Joshua P. Warren joins us with his paranormal moment, his new work. He's got a manual called Poor Man's Paranormal, which is a manual of using household items to document all kinds of mystical things. We'll get into Joshua a little bit later on tonight. Dr. John Hall is a medical doctor in San Antonio, Texas, and the author, as I just mentioned, of A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America, board-certified diplomat of the American Board of Anesthesiology and a member of the American Academy of Pain Medicine. He sits on the medical committee of the human rights organization Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. Here he is back on Coast to Coast, Dr. John Hall. John, how are you?
Oh, good, Jorg. It's good to be back on with you. How are you doing?
Likewise, I'm great. Story I had right before you came on of the college student who had a GPS device apparently put on his car. Does this happen all the time, John?
Oh, it's happening more frequently than you would imagine. You know, they've got GPS devices down now to where they're just, some of them are about the size of a USB memory stick, come with a magnet on them. Some of them aren't real time. You have to actually take them loose from the car and plug them into your computer, but they still give you all the data. The real time ones, a little bit bigger, but they've got those down to a micro size where he was really just lucky it was found by the mechanic that was changing his oil.
Yeah.
Most people would never have a chance of finding it.
In this day and age, one might say, well, you know, we got to keep our eyes on people. We can't have anything happen. At the same time, we're giving up freedoms. We're giving up rights, John, aren't we?
Well, that's exactly how they scare you into that. And, you know, we've pretty much given away all of our privacy already, you know, under the guise of national security. And we've all been kind of duped into the social networking phase too, where especially our younger generation, I mean, they don't have to be tracked. They can be tracked by everything they put on Facebook and Twitter and MySpace, you know, which is, you know, for the most part, a tool for tracking people as it is. I mean, so many people are putting their pictures, all of their birth date, their information. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, those of us that remember what privacy was like back in the days when you had only a line phone and didn't carry a cell phone and didn't have a computer, yeah, those days are long gone.
Give us an overview, John, of what's happening in the area of electronic harassment, stalking, mind control. What's going on?
Well, I will tell you this, Georgia. Part of the reason I wrote the book, and it actually released in 2009, was my ex-fiancée was victimized with this type of harassment. For those of your listeners that aren't familiar with what we're talking about, it's a combination of organized stalking, break-ins into your home as a psychological operation to let you know that you are being followed. It's very intentional, combined with electromagnetic technologies that can cause you pain, cause you headaches, body heating, sleep deprivation, along with most of the victims complaining of hearing the voices of their attackers either in their heads or in their surroundings, specifically in appliances that vibrate in their surroundings. And it's frequency specific. Only the targeted person can hear it. The people around them in most instances can't. And in most instances, because it is any vibrating appliance, if you try to record it, all you're going to get is the noise, background noise from the appliance that's vibrating. And if they're hearing it in your head, that's microwave auditory effect. It's been well studied by the Army, and even in their literature, they say that it's impossible to record with microphones on the scalp or in the ear. So just a quick overview of exactly what we're talking about. After doing your show originally about a year ago now, the response was overwhelming. There were a lot of people being victimized with this technology that didn't realize they were. I got an overwhelming number of emails from family members of victims who, after hearing you and I on the show, called me or emailed me to say, you know what, this was happening to my brother or my sister or my mother. We took them to psychiatrist after psychiatrist. They were on medication after medication, or in some of the worst instances, actually admitted to psychiatric hospitals, and it still kept happening until we heard the show with George Norrie, where you described what it is and what the technology is behind it. And now we feel like our family member has been victimized. That happened more times than I can tell you. I got emails from family members that finally had some understanding of what was happening to their family member, which is very important, because the victims of this type of harassment usually don't wind up with any family support.
Well, they're belittled, aren't they, John? They're basically told they're nuts, aren't they?
Exactly, and more often than not by their family members. You know, your family members, that have known you in your crazier days and your younger days, and believe it or not, strangers are more apt to believe you when you voice these complaints than your own family. And it's usually a spouse or a family member that get you parked in front of a psychiatrist who even further victimizes you by giving you a diagnosis that usually precludes you from keeping gainful employment.
What's the motive for all this, John? Why?
Well, if you look at it from a New World Order perspective, this is technology that can be inflicted on you remotely, possibly not even from somebody that's doing it from in your state. It can be done globally from a computer. It's meant to eventually, I believe, probably control the mass of the population. There's not much of the reason for it. Most of these victims have been victimized for a decade or longer. The only reason it would be experimentally to finally perfect it to where it can be used to control the world's population.
I was going to say, these could be tests to see how it works, how effective it might be.
Well, that seems to be what it is. And actually, there's been a couple of high points that have come up recently. Back in October the 3rd, 2010, decided to convene a symposium at Sonoma State University and try to get at least some of the, you know, the professional people that have either spoken on this, researched on it, or published on it, to get a consortium together of myself and these people to meet, to go over exactly the modalities of how it's being done, what we can do about it, and specifically how we can get it into a the Congress to get a congressional hearing for disclosure, similar to what we had for MK Ultra with either a Rockefeller Commission or Church Committee type hearing. Overwhelming success. Some of the notables that many of these people you'll know that we either corresponded with to get advice mm-hmm. before the conference or attended the conference was, of course, Dr. Fred Bell.
Sure.
Close friend of mine and yours, I believe.
He's been on the show just on with us last week. Yeah.
Peter Phillips with Project Centered, who was gracious enough to actually host this for us at Sonoma State University. In touch with Nick Begich to get some advice on directions he thought we should go. Dr. Colin Ross, who wrote the CIA Doctors and exposed a lot of the MK Ultra experiments, that were the precursors to what we have going on now, I believe. Dr. Terry Robertson, another doctor, medical doctor from Kansas City, who has done some excellent work on the history behind this type of technology and where the research is heading. Dr. Don Rawmaker, a PhD, who comes to the table with understands the technology, but comes to the table with a spiritual warfare look at it, which is, you know, kind of important. And several of the more prominent victims advocates, Kevin Bond and Christine Lynn Harris, both from California. We decided to hold this in California because California is getting hit the hardest.
I was going to ask you if there are other regions of this country in North America that seem to have more of this happening, and I guess then California is one of them, right?
Well, the three top states that are being hit here are California, Texas, and Florida. We know this from Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment, does online surveys. We're up to about 1,000 people filling out surveys, making these complaints in one organization, and there are multiple organizations.
Amazing. Why those states?
Hard to say. It could be the presence of military bases. And I know, like in the Dakotas and Wyoming and Montana, we're not seeing as many victims come out of those regions, and it might be just a representative of a lack of population in those areas. But it's a global phenomenon. Matter of fact, I've heard from people, especially after your show, just about from every country, and heard from a guy from Slovenia who has a group of 800 people and an advocacy group there that are experiencing all the same symptoms. So it's a global phenomenon.
If you could put it, John, in order of the amount of surveillance or harassment or whatever is happening to these people, how would you categorize it? I mean, what's happening to them primarily and then secondarily and so forth?
Well, primarily it's torture. Most of these people are at home or in really anywhere they go. It tracks you wherever you go. Usually starts with tinnitus or ringing in the ears. Rapidly that becomes hearing the voices of the people that are targeting you.
Are they trying to see how far they can push you?
That seems to be the case.
Huh.
And that's actually what one of the things we believe is because this experimentation has been going on for so long and so many of these victims that it seems to be one, seeing what types of weird cancers that exposure to this much non-ionizing radiation through this kind of technology is going to cause over a long term, especially if they ever unleash it on the entire population. And two, like you said, to see how long it takes on average in most people to get them penniless, homeless, jobless, and committed.
Yeah, Sirhan Sirhan, convicted of killing Robert F. Kennedy, had his parole hearing today, and he was denied parole, John. He was denied parole, but he claims that he can't remember what happened, and his new attorney, William Pepper, says that he could be a Manchurian candidate type where his mind has been altered.
Well, they've been batting that around for a long time, and he certainly fits the profile. A lot of times Manchurian candidates under complete control won't ever realize that that's what they are. They're programmed into a new personality and would never realize it. They've also been saying the same thing about the shooter in the Gifford case. And he had been vocal about being affected by some of the mind control technologies. So that's one of those things you'll never know. The person that's being victimized certainly usually can't tell you if they're being controlled. I've seen people that are under this type of control. You can put a red dot on a white wall and they won't see it. They'll see a white wall.
John, we're going to come back and talk more with you about this on Coast to Coast AM. Sure is, as you listen to North America's top-rated late-night program, Coast to Coast AM, thanks to you. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Dr. John Hall and also those of you who believe you are being electronically harassed. Check in with us as well next hour. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Dr. John Hall. John, tell me about the Bioethics Commission. What is that?
The Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues is a commission that meets, I believe, about four times a year to go over, obviously, bioethical issues on human experimentation and other medical and scientific research issues. Right about the time, or actually just before we had the symposium at Sonoma, I don't know if you remember, Hillary Clinton came out and had to apologize for syphilis testing that was done in Guatemala.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, from 1946 to 1948, about 700 Guatemalans, mental patients, prison inmates, and soldiers were either intentionally exposed to prostitutes with syphilis, or some of them actually had the bacteria poured onto wounds or injected into their spinal cords to study the effects of penicillin on curing syphilis. Now, this should sound real familiar to you, George. A little experiment called the Tuskegee experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially the same thing. For those of you who don't believe the U.S. government is willing to experiment on you without your consent, historically, there's a lot of cases with it. Willowbrook, they tested hepatitis virus on mentally disabled children. Sloan Kettering, and they injected cancer cells into patients without telling them.
And John, I gotta believe when all this was going on, it was probably kept within a small group of people in government. I don't think this was something where they broadcasted it to everybody, was it?
No, it wasn't. And the Guatemala testing was actually done through the National Institutes of Health, one of the organizations that's actually charged with protecting us from such experimentation. A lot of the other experiments in the past were done through the DOD. MK Ultra obviously was done through the CIA. It was multiple sub-projects that were aimed at mind control, which, you know, have led to what we're experiencing today, which most of us believe is a continuation of MK Ultra. But the public apology that Hillary Clinton had to give to the people of Guatemala for unethical testing on them led to a letter generated from the White House from President Obama, dated November 24, 2010, in which Obama charges Amy Guttman, the chairman of the Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues, to evaluate whether our current legislation regulating human test subjects is adequate in protecting people domestically or abroad from unethical experimentation, and if any non-consensual or unethical experimentation is still ongoing. The commission, I think, would like to say that all of this testing that we've talked about, the syphilis testing, the Tuskegee testing, the radiation experiments that were just very pervasive during the Cold War, that all of it was post-World War II Cold War testing before there was adequate legislation to cover it. So they actually held a meeting on February 28th and March 1st to convene. On March 1st, a panel of experts to meet with the commission and guest speakers and public commentary to determine if indeed the current legislation is adequate in protecting the public. I was there to give my spiel to the commission, and they had several experts. Of course, all other experts, and including most of the commission members, very few of them are medical doctors. Most of them are PhDs from very, you know, prestigious ivory tower type places. The Code of Regulations, Title 45, Part 46, Protection of Human Subjects, is also known as the Common Rule. And the Common Rule is what is looked at as our protection against unethical experimentation. And Most of these horrendous experiments that we've heard about in the past and that are still ongoing with electromagnetic weapons, there's no informed consent. That's the key. It's done without your knowledge. It's done without asking you. It's done without telling you what the experimentation is. And that's how these horrendous experiments have always occurred. The common rule is route with loopholes that allow the agencies that are doing the experimentation to get around informed consent. That's one of the problems with it. As far as protecting the public or protecting an individual, the legislation referred to as the common rule, you would be better served by rolling it up and burning it in your fireplace. It would protect you from frostbite much better than would it protect you from experimentation. It's that bad. The institutional review boards are, it's up to the IRBs to get informed consent, and in almost every title and every section in this common rule, the IRB, up to its discretion, can find ways to waive informed consent. Even in legitimate experimentation, that's bad. I mean, you shouldn't be able to waive informed consent, you know, based on a whim. And most of these horrendous experiments, including the one we're dealing with now, that's funded by a black budget, by an intelligence agency, or by the DOD, there's no way to know if there is an institutional review board. Therefore, there's no way to know if there's informed consent. There's most of the time it's signed off on a black budget where no one really knows the experimentation is going on. And that's the point I made to the chairman, Amy Gutman, that that this isn't adequate legislation, that we need legislation that says it's illegal to experiment on the public without informed consent, period. No option of waiver. And John Glenn did try to pass such legislation in 1996, but it was shot down in committee and never made it to a vote.
And by the way, you either have a grandfather clock in the background or they are eavesdropping on us.
But you know, the meeting was, what surprised me was there were a lot of victims that actually turned up to this meeting and were able to stand. They were giving a pretty cheesy minute and a half to actually give their testimony, but some very, very blood-curdling, chilling testimony given by these people to this commission, because the other thing that they're charged with is deciding, is there any non-consensual, unethical experimentation still ongoing? And the 13 member of this board was handed a packet written by Terry Robertson, MD, from Kansas City, who did a very excellent job on a 17-page treatise describing the technology that we're fighting right now, its inception, how it's been propagated through research, and how it's probably in an experimental phase right now. I turned in a similar packet coming more from a medical standpoint. From the number of victims I've spoken to, at least 1,500 to 2,000 people I've corresponded with here domestically, more globally, all voicing identical complaints, not similar, identical complaints. Anyone looking at this logically would have to see that this is experimentation until proven otherwise.
Who's behind most of this, the military or the CIA?
Or both. Definitely the Army has experimented and researched microwave auditory effect, which is, you know, putting voices in your head in their addendum to the biological effects of non-lethal weapons. They very clearly describe the microwave auditory effect, and it's, and I quote, its incapacitating effect on an enemy combatant when they begin to hear voices in their head that are not their own. And like I said before, they go on to talk about how it can't be recorded, it can't be picked up, and its value in a hostage situation where they can communicate with the hostages without the hostage taker hearing. The CIA, we know, has been behind a lot of it. This started with MKUltra. Mind control sub-projects meant to control the human being, which included electroconvulsive therapy and drugging, you know, done by Ewan Cameron at McGill University to create Manchurian candidates and multi-personality disorder, all the way to Delgado down in Louisiana doing brain implants to control human behavior. A lot of this research was disguised as legitimate research in universities.
Give me some stories of victims, some of the things that they have gone through, John.
A lot of the female victims are experiencing not only the voice-to-skull and the break-ins and the stalking, but a great majority of them are experiencing drugging with Rohypnol and GHB, and sexual assault, physical sexual assault.
How do they get to that?
Well, you've got to remember, this technology is either meant to harass you or meant to control you. And if you break into someone's home and you put Rohypnol or GHB in their food or their bottled water, then that individual can be controlled to be thirsty, to drink where you put the drug. So in most instances, they're breaking in. These women are being drugged in their home. They're not out at
breaking in unnoticed. They're being, do they see them break in or not?
Well, they usually intentionally leave things scattered around your house or move your stuff around. They want you to know that your house has been broken into. Your neighbors usually don't catch them, because you got to remember, George, this is based on HARP and satellite surveillance type technology. They can see where the neighbors are. I mean, your house can be broken into when your neighbors are home, as long as they're watching them too, and they can see that they're not looking out a window at your house.
Sure.
And the breaking and entering is one of the first things people notice. And you come home and you see that your stuff's been moved around, but nothing's been stolen. Well, you call the police, and you know they don't believe you because nothing's been stolen. So it's not a burglary report that'll usually get investigated. And a lot of it to the police looks like normal wear and tear, or you just not remembering where you left your stuff in your house.
This is frightening stuff, John.
And what's even more frightening is the number of people that are complaining about it. And since we talked last, there's been an alarming increase in the number of people, voicing this kind of
in terror, 1 year, in just one year,
and especially globally. I've literally heard from people from Slovenia, from France, from the UK, from Italy, from China, from India, from Yemen.
How about Canada?
There's a ton of victims in Canada, but Canada's been the playground for the CIA for a long time. Ewan Cameron did a lot of his early mind control studies at McGill University in Canada, and which, by the way, Ewan Cameron was the president of the American Psychiatric Association and the president of the Canadian Psychiatric Association, actually sat in the Rockefeller Commission hearings to talk about some of the unethical experimentation he had done, which was horrendous, 900 times normal amounts of electroconvulsive therapy along with LSD and loop tapes of a new personality to create a multi-personality disorder, and walked away not only unprosecuted, but went on to pass away with a glowing eulogy written about him being, one of the top physicians in psychiatric care.
I have to assume that they're breaking the law doing this, aren't they?
Well, not according to the common rule, and that's the problem we have in this country, is there's no good law that says that the government or the DOD can't experiment on you. As long as they can skirt informed consent, which is very easy to do in the common rule, it's pretty easy to experiment on the public and get away with it. And that's historically been the U.S. government's modus operandi, experiment now and 40 years later apologize and everything will go away. And a good example of that is when Hillary Clinton had to apologize to the Guatemalans, every major media source covered that and this horrendous experiment, and Hillary Clinton had to apologize. Well, at the meeting with the commission who is charged with making sure that it's not happening now and never happens again, guess who the only media source is that's covering this commission meeting?
Who?
You.
You're kidding me.
No media. There was no media at the commission.
We were the only ones that talked about it?
Yeah. Yep. And, I kind of knew you'd come through, George.
Yeah, we do. I don't think of myself as a media person anymore. I think of myself more as a truth seeker, John.
Well, and that's exactly it. And, I was just really shocked that, New York Times, Boston, all the major... all the major newspapers covered the apology and covered the horrendousness of the experimentation. None of them, not one of them, showed up to the commission hearing on March 1st to actually hear the victims' testimonies that are in ongoing non-consensual experimentation, or to put any pressure on this commission to actually enforce their findings. And that's been these commissions have met before: Rockefeller Commission, Church Committee, Acre hearings for radiation experiments, and this particular commission for the study of bioethical issues has tried to give advice to the government before. The problem is they never enforce the rules they try to advise on, and that's where media pressure comes in, George. I mean, the government or their media darlings, they respond to media pressure better than anything else.
Have you ever gotten to a point where you've seen witnesses, eyewitnesses, people who've been victimized by this just break down? I mean, almost to the point of collapsing?
Yeah. I mean, there's the actually, we had a guy here in San Antonio, Texas, that was attacked with this technology, and I wrote about it in the book. He went and ran and got his wife out of the bedroom late one night and swore up and down that the devil was in the room. He could hear Satan, and Satan was telling him it was his last night on earth. No one else in the room. His family couldn't hear what he was talking about, and he was very insistent. Can't you hear him? I can hear him loud as you know, and clear. He's right here in the room. And he did have a fatal heart attack that night. These weapons are meant to be non-lethal. They were invented as non-lethal, but certainly if you're in a weakened state, if you have heart problems, one of the things that they love to do to people is speed the heart rate up and down or give you PVCs or arrhythmias. A lot of that's done through EEG entrainment. Dr. Robert Duncan, who worked on a lot of these projects that led up to this technology, has a great book out on that. According to him, and I've worked with him and his mind hacking strategy group quite a bit, says that once you're a target of this, you're a target for life, and that most of this is being done through EEG entrainment, that you have a basically dictionary of EEG tracings or waveforms that correspond to, you know, heart rate increase, muscle twitching, depression, agitation, and when you entrain the human brain with that foreign waveform, you will slowly incorporated into your own, and then you start to demonstrate the symptoms that they want you to demonstrate.
This is unbelievable, John. And who's behind this? If it's happening worldwide, then to me, there's a worldwide effort to do it. I mean, how far up does this go? Is this the shadow government that's doing this?
Well, obviously, it is the shadow government somewhere. My personal belief is I think the UN is behind it. I think every industrialized country has developed these weapons. We weren't the first. The Russians were the first to really start working on this. Igor Smirnov was one of the first people to develop the voice-to-skull type technology. I don't know if you remember the David Koresh Branch Davidian crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
The FBI actually brought Igor Smirnov over from Russia with the intent of putting Charlton Heston's voice as the voice of God in David Koresh's head to try to convince him to surrender. That was a Newsweek article, George, and they wound up, according to them, they didn't use it because the Russian software wasn't compatible with FBI computers. And they wanted Igor Smirnov to promise them there wouldn't be any detrimental effects to any of the Branch Davidians, and he couldn't guarantee that. So they, you know, burned the buildings and shot them when they ran out instead.
What can we do as people to fight this?
Educate yourself, and that's one of the goals of the consortium and Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment is to educate people on this. If you feel you're being a victim, or even if you've just heard this tonight and you're concerned with the fact that it's not illegal, really illegal for the government to experiment on the public, write your senators, write your representatives. Tell them that you want legislative changes to the common rule, especially now is a good time to do it because we've just met with the commission. They are well aware that this is happening. There were at least 10 victims there who gave chilling testimonies. I talked to them and showed them the loopholes in the common rule that skirt informed consent. Right now is a good time to really write your senators and your representatives saying that we need cut-and-dried legislation against experimentation. At least that would give a basis for victims to bring litigation against the government when this is being done. This is hard technology to prove, George. It's unseen. It's either HARP or satellite-based. It's weapons that are being used on you remotely. You can't see directed energy. You certainly can't see, you know, microwave waveforms that are being beamed at your head. You know, about the only thing you can do is try to catch the stalkers, because this always goes on with organized stalking. It's a combination approach. The organized stalking is meant to put you in a victim mindset that they can get into your house and you can't stop them, while the rest of it probably is the true experimentation, which is with the directed energy and the EEG entrainment.
All right, we'll stay with a split program tonight, so we're going to take your phone calls this coming hour then. And also perhaps your stories. Maybe you've been a victim. We're with Dr. John Hall, his work, A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America.